Hello, everybody, and welcome into our first trade deadline preview show here at the Hockey Writers YouTube channel. I've got a couple guys joining here that may be busy around the trade deadline. We've got Derek Olsen of the Calgary Flames, who has his GM. I mean, the Calgary Flames GM has been pretty busy, Craig Conroy. So welcome, Derek. How's it going?
Oh, great. Thank you for having me. Lots of stuff going on, so can't wait to talk about it.
For sure. And also joined in by Jacob Strozek, who covers the Buffalo Sabres. They may be busy as well. They are quite a bit out of the playoffs, so they could be sellers. How's it going?
It's going good. Hoping that Kevin Adams will make some moves during this deadline as opposed to last year. So we're excited to see what's going to happen.
For sure. Well, let's get started with the Calgary Flames, because they've been in the news just recently. Well, the last couple of days, they traded Elias Lindholm to the Vancouver Canucks, the team I cover, for a package that included Andrei Kuzmenko, a couple prospects, first-round pick, pretty big package for a pending UFA. First of all, Derek, I'll start with, have they officially become sellers now? I mean, they traded Nikita Zadorov in November, now have traded another big piece in Lindholm. They're 5 points out of a wild card spot, not totally out of it. But do you think that they are officially sellers, or do they still think they have a chance at the playoffs right now?
I mean, it's a kind of a good and bad situation to be in, right? Obviously, you don't want to be in the basement at this point if you can do something about it. But I think I would say a conservative seller, if that's if that's a way to go about it. I think, I mean, Craig Conroy mentioned in a recent interview that he sees it more as a retool on the fly. I think just the fact that despite the teams that close, I think ownership and management have kind of realized they're not really thriving with their current core and they kind of need some change. And I think in addition, the offers for the players that they have are just going to be too rich for them to say no. I think when you look at the collective haul that Conroy has gotten for Toffoli and Zadorov and Lindholm, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, players like Huberdeau, Kadri, Uyghur, Anderson, those guys aren't going anywhere. And I don't think they're going to buy into a tank job. And neither will ownership or the fan base. So I would label the team as a conservative seller. I think they're willing to make deals, but they still want to stay competitive, want to keep butts in seats.
For sure. And Jacob, what do you think? Are the Flames, do you think they're sellers right now, or do you agree that they're more of a conservative seller, maybe trying to retool rather than go into a complete rebuild?
Yeah, I like that term, conservative seller. I think it accurately describes what they're going for, because they're not tearing it down. They're not trading out every single piece. They moved out a piece that they probably wouldn't be able to retain, and they got a nice haul for him. And it's not like Kuzmenko is having a down year this season, but if you put him with the right, you know, center or winger, you can get a lot more out of him. So I don't think you're going to lose a whole lot of production between what you were getting out of Lindholm and what you're going to get out of Kuzmenko. So I like the retool idea. I think they have a lot of potential. I like a lot of their defensemen, and I really hope one of them gets traded to Buffalo, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I will talk about a couple, maybe some trades these two teams can make. Let's move on to some of the other names that are in the rumors, that have been in the rumors for maybe from the beginning of the season, maybe definitely one of them. And these guys are all on the Hockey Writers trade bait board that was recently updated with the Lindholm trade. Number one on that list is Chris Tanev, who's was rumored to be may have been in that Lindholm trade. The Canucks wanted him in the trade, but Conroy wouldn't budge on that. There's some reports it's a second round pick now, but at that time it was a first rounder they wanted included. Derek, what do you think about Chris Tanev? He's a hot commodity, it seems. Lots of teams are looking at him, Canucks being one of them. Where do you believe he's going to go? First of all, is he going to be traded? And then where do you think the best fit will be for him?
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a foregone conclusion. I think Chris Tanev, I would say maybe 70%, 30% will be leaving the Calgary Flames. I don't think he's going to finish the year with the team. And it, again, just like what I said, I think the offers are just going to be too rich for Craig Conroy to say no. I mean, sure, you would like to keep Chris Tanev around. He's better on your team than he is playing against you. But if a team offers something like a high second rounder or a low first and another asset, I mean, it's tough to say no to that. Comparables like Josh Manson, for example, went in 2022 for a second and a prospect as a comparable. And I mean, Tanev's not going to chip in offensively, obviously, right? He has one goal and 9 points this year, and he's 34 years old, but he is an elite defensive defenseman. He's going to bolster any playoff hopefuls team's blue line. He has the fourth most block shots in the league with 135. Like, guy just clogs up passing lanes and gets in the way of everything. And I think teams will really value that. The big problem, I think, well, not a big problem, but a problem nonetheless, his contract carries with it a 10 team no trade list. So he can say no to a third of the NHL, basically, which is great work by his agent. But yeah, apparently he was included in that Lindholm trade, and he was rumored to be on his way back to Vancouver, where he spent the first 10 years of his career. But yeah, the ask was the Flame or the Canucks 2024 or 2025, pardon me, first rounder, and they weren't willing to give that up since they were already giving one up for Lindholm. But they will apparently keep pursuing him, from what I've heard. So, as will the Toronto Maple Leafs, who were interested in him way back in November of 2023. They were wanting Zadorov or him, and there was apparently some background talks about either one. And then, of course, Zadorov went to the Canucks. So they are going to keep looking at him. Unfortunately, they don't have any second round picks in the near future from a bunch of previous trades, like Dzingel trade comes to mind and a bunch of other ones. So they may be stuck giving up their 2024 first if they want him, or a prospect of similar value, maybe like a Fraser Minton, perhaps. I don't know. But other teams that would be interested, I mean, it's tough to say not every team would want to, because I'm sure every team would. But just off the top of my head, I would say like a team like the Bruins would really be interested, if they could afford it. The Devils, the Oilers, the Jets, and then of course the Leafs and Canucks.
Yeah, lots of teams are going to want this guy. Like, he is a guy you want for the playoffs. Like, he blocks shots, like, well, probably one of the best shot blockers in the NHL right now. And he's not as injury prone as he used to be. In Vancouver, he was always injured. But in Calgary, maybe one time he's been out for a long period. He's been really durable, which is funny because he wasn't in Vancouver at all. So it's going to be interesting where he goes. He may end up being in Vancouver, or he may end up being a rental for another team, and he'll end up in Vancouver anyway, as a free agent in the offseason. So, Jacob, on Tanev, do you think that the Sabres would be involved in that, or is that just not going to happen since he's probably going to be a rental that wouldn't make sense at this point for them?
I mean, it would only really make sense if they made the trade with the intention of giving him a short-term extension and using him for the next couple of years. But it really would come down to, can they convince him to believe that they're going to be a playoff team next year? Because unless some ridiculous stretch happens this season, I don't see it happening. But if they could convince him to do it, I think he would be a spectacular addition on that second or even first pair, depending on how they want to deploy him. But I think it would be a long shot to get somebody like Tanev. It's not that they don't have the assets to trade for somebody like him, because they absolutely do. They have picks, prospects galore. But it's a matter of, would they be able to convince him to not be on their no trade list, that they would be able to actually bring him in? I would love to have him, but I think it's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's going to a playoff contender, a team that's on the cusp of potentially winning a cup. I think that's one of those. I think that's the team that's going to go. He's going to go to for sure. All right, moving on to probably, I want to say Hanifin's probably bigger than most here because of his age and the fact that he is going to be an unrestricted free agent too, but his age is a lot. He's only 26, 25. No, 26. I was reading the wrong ones. 20, his points are 25, 26 years old. Seventh on the trade bait board. Derek, this guy could go on for a lot. I say his age, fact that he can be a top four defenseman for a long time, but there's that extension that probably is going to have to be involved in it. Where do you think he's going, and is he going to be going anywhere?
Yeah, I'd like to think that the Flames' preference is still to re-sign Noah Hanifin. I think, I mean, he eats the most minutes up after Mackenzie Weegar on the team. And I think people think have a false kind of hope that with Weegar, Anderson, that we're okay in our top four. But I think if once you move on from a player like Hanifin, that's a big hole. So, and being his age fits with the rest of the core of the team, I think that, yeah, their preference is to re-sign him. Trade wise, I think you need to look at comparables. Recent top four defenders getting moved in their mid-20s, kind of rare, but it's happened. The package coming back for a lot of the ones that I've found has been very similar. Like last year, Jakob Chychrun, perfect comparable, cost the Ottawa Senators a first round pick and 2 seconds. Coming back home, the Flames traded for Dougie Hamilton back in 2015 and surrendered a first and 2 seconds. And then they sent the exact same package to the New York Islanders in 2016 for Travis Hamonic. So I'd like to think that the Flames would want a similar package to that, a first round pick in 2 seconds, or kind of prospects that resemble that value. I mean, he's again, yeah, turning 27. He can slot in on any team's top four with ease. Kills penalties, can contribute on the power play. He's really a Swiss Army knife on the back end. But yeah, what any acquiring team would be would want if they're giving up such capital is an extension in place, and only so many can afford the apparent 8 year, $7 million plus AAV that Hanifin's camp is looking for. So I mean, personally, I could see him going to a team like Arizona, who kind of is not where a lot of people thought they would be. They're kind of in the playoff hunt. They're in and around that 5 points out, kind of like what we are. And maybe they want to make a splash and commit to a big player like that. And they definitely have the draft capital. I think they have, I forgot what the report was, but I think they have 7 second rounders or something like that in the next couple of
Sounds about
drafts.
right.
Like they can make some
Yeah.
moves. They might as well start spending stuff like that, right? But I mean, they could also do a rental deal. The Bruins go hometown. They could do the Devils could also use him. They're short on the back end. The Detroit Red Wings could probably take him. They're in the playoff hunt, and they could potentially afford a deal. But yeah, I'm sure the Sabres is another name that you could throw in there. Maybe they would definitely could probably find a fit there. But yeah, I mean, he's probably, if not the top name on the fruit or on the trade market, if he's in the top three, I would say he's going to be what everybody else is kind of waiting for, the trickle down effect. When he goes, then I can base what I have off of him. If he goes for a first and second, well, I have a lesser defenseman for trade. Okay, maybe I'm getting a third now, right? Like
Yeah.
everybody waits for the big fish to go first. So
Yes, there's another name. It's gonna be interesting to see where he goes because I'm like you say, I'm sure the Flames want him back. He does fit in that, like you say, that core that they're trying to build and retool around. So we'll see where he goes. Well, it's a good segue, Jacob. What do you think about Hanifin in Buffalo? Do you think that's a target they could go after? Again, an extension would probably have to be in place for what the one have to give up for him.
I mean, yeah, he's somebody that I thought they should have targeted way earlier in the season, not this late. That he fills the hole that the Sabres really had from the get-go, which is on that top four set, whether it's going to be with Dahlin or mentoring power, it doesn't really matter. Fitting somewhere in those top two defensive pairs is really where the Sabres need somebody. And again, they have the draft capital, they have the prospect capital, and they have the cap space that they can use to put an extension in place. And since he still fits within the youth program the Sabres are running right now, it's just every box possible checked. And I don't understand why an offer hasn't been made to a point that would actually make it happen, because there's so many things that the Sabres could offer that other teams can't. Arizona is, in my opinion, really the only other team that has that type of capital to start throwing at a player or start throwing at a team for Hanifin. But I would love to see them make a move for him. He's at the top of my list of players that I want Buffalo to make a move for.
Yeah, that age is really good. Like, and that's the thing. He is not an old defenseman. He's still just entering his prime, and that's something that a lot of teams are going to be looking at for their future as well. So, yeah, Hanifin's probably the bigger one of the bigger names out there for that young group right now. All right, finishing it off, let's start. Well, we've talked about two defensemen. Let's talk about a goaltender, Jacob Markstrom. Now, he's been in and out of trade rumors, I guess. I think most recently he's been in it again. The Flames have two goaltenders. They got Dan Vladar, has been the backup. They also got Dustin Wolf, who's the future. Derek, what do you think? Do you think Markstrom's the one on the move? Everyone thought it was going to be Vladar being the guy that's going to be on the move, but like Markstrom's got some terms still on his contract. I believe he has one more. Is it one more season left on the one he's got? What do you think about Markstrom? Is he moving, or is it going to be a guy like Vladar?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's really nice to see him bounce back from what was a putrid 2022-23 season. I think he's more playing to what his level actually is as a goalie in the NHL. So that's good. I mean, last year we were talking about kind of what are we going to do with Jacob Markstrom? We're stuck and everything. And now it's completely flipped, just, you know, a couple of good stretches of play, what that can do for you. But yeah, I think the team's pretty comfortable keeping him. If no deal presents itself, and I think they would rather move on from Dan Vladar to make the permanent room for Dustin Wolf. Markstrom would be a better mentor for Wolf due to his vast experience and his playing pedigree. I mean, he was a second in the Vezina Trophy voting, second or third, a couple years ago. But yeah, it's been said that they're not actively shopping him, and they'd really only move on if they were given an offer they couldn't refuse. And I mean, yeah, if they were willing to trade him, they would need to retain salary. $6 million is a lot for most teams to handle. And he still has two seasons left on his contract.
Two seasons, yeah.
Yeah, after this, and he's 34 now. So if you're Conroy, you'd have to be okay with 3 years of dead cap on your payroll, which is tough. But yeah, I'd say if they were offered a first or a top prospect, as well as like a lesser goalie to even things out, they might agree. They would probably need to take on a bad contract in return for most teams as well. So that's another thing to think about. But yeah, he's still very effective at 34. And I think he could serve as a 1A, 1B for a good team that's maybe not as confident with their backup. Teams like the Maple Leafs, if they could ever figure out a way to afford it, they would be wanting to do that for sure. The Devils have been rumored as interested, and now due to circumstances, the Philadelphia Flyers should probably be interested as well. So yeah, again, as if they're not blown away, I think he's going to stay a Calgary Flame.
Yeah. He also has a no movement clause too. So we'd have to waive that. So that's a big one as well. So yeah, he's, I think, staying in Calgary. He's just, like I said, those rumors have been on and off. I think the guy that is moving is Vladar. I think he's probably going to be moved before the deadline because Wolf shouldn't be in the AHL anymore. I think he's an NHL goaltender. He should at least be a backup. So we'll see how that all plays out in the next few weeks here. All right, quickly before we move on to the Sabres, do you see any other trade bait? Obviously, they're not going to be moving Huberdeau. No one's going to want that contract, especially how he's playing. Kadri, another thing. I think that's a too big of a contract. Do you see anyone else on the move at the deadline, apart from these three guys we've kind of highlighted?
I mean, there's players that you can speculate about for sure. But I mean, I think the one that keeps coming to mind for me, and I've talked to a lot of other kind of Flames fans and insiders, and a lot of them are thinking it could be a good idea for the team to sell high on a Blake Coleman right now. He's leading the team in goals, points, and he has a plus 22 on our team, which is insane. He's an extremely effective two-way forward that can play all three positions up front and on any line. He hits, he blocks, he kills penalties. He's got four shorthanded goals this season. And he's incredibly valuable to the Flames, and it would hurt, but he's now 32 years old and he's locked into a contract that pays him almost $5 million a year until 2026, 27. So maybe now is a good time to kind of get out from that contract before his body starts to give out due to his kind of rough and tumble playing style. But again, it's just like Markstrom. If they keep him, they keep him. I mean, it's tough to give away your best player right now, but something to think about. I'm sure they are.
Coleman, playoff guy too. We all know what he did with the Lightning on that third line. So he's definitely would be valuable if he's put on the market. teams will be lining up for him. I have playoff teams for sure. Maybe even the Lightning. Who knows? Lightning, though, they have no cap space. It'll probably be tough to bring him back. But yeah, he'd definitely be of interest for a lot of teams. All right, moving on to the Sabres, who haven't really been in rumors. Like we talked before recording, it doesn't seem like Kevin Adams is really big on making tons of moves. But no players are on this trade bait list, so we can't really focus on any of them. But Jacob, give us some names. Actually, first of all, are they sellers? I mean, 10 points out of a wild card spot right now, they'd have to go on a crazy run to do anything. So first of all, are they selling, and who are they selling?
Well, they're going to be Kevin Adams' version of what a seller is. And that means moving out assets that they either just can't retain or that are just too old for them. They're not going to move out young players more than likely. And if they are, the youngest is going to be like 26 or 27. So you'd be looking at players like Eric Johnson, maybe Zemgus Girgensons. I don't think they trade Kyle Okposo. I think they would hold on to him just for, you know, team leadership's sake. Similar to Girgensons, it would be tough to see them trading him. Johnson is probably the best, you know, trade option they have, but they're not going to be getting a whole lot for him. Getting what, maybe a fourth, fifth round pick for Eric Johnson isn't going to make or break anything that happens like at all this season. And beyond that, your next biggest trade bait piece is maybe Victor Olofsson, who has 4 goals this year. So since they didn't move him at the start of the season and bank on the fact that he scored almost 30 goals last season, they're going to be selling super low on him if they decide to trade him at all. But that would be about it. Maybe Johnson, Olofsson, there's not much.
There is not a lot that they could sell. They've got a lot of young guys, and let's move to that. I mean, we talked about Hanifin potentially going after him. Do you see any other targets that they would actually, I mean, I don't want to say buy, but really they're buying for the future to kind of accelerate this rebuild that's gone on for way too long? We've talked about it in the preview show at the beginning of this season. What do you think about targets? Do you see anyone else that they could potentially go after in a bigger trade to trade some of these prospects and kind of push forward finally?
Yeah, I think someone that would add a good amount of depth to their forward group. And it really will depend on if Columbus is willing to part with him. And it's Boone Jenner. I think he fits all of the right criteria of what they need for that middle six. He's experienced. He's good at scoring goals. He's a great leader. He hits. He's a good penalty killer. And he does all those things that every single one of these young players needs to develop into their game. So having him set that example, they could easily use whatever capital, draft, prospects, whatever else they want to make a move for Jenner. It's just, is Columbus willing to sell him? I think he would be a great target, but it's tough to not think in terms of like playing NHL 23 or 24, where you can just walk into any GM's office and say, I want that player, and work out a trade for it. That's not how the real NHL works. So it's tough to really formulate what exactly would it cost to get somebody like Boone Jenner when he's such an integral part of that organization.
I know Mark Shag, who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets here at the Hockey Writers, he was saying that a team would have to overpay to get him because the Columbus Blue Jackets aren't actively shopping him. Now, if a team pulls and out the stops and gives a ton, then they would consider it. But you know, teams would have to really give him a lot for that to happen. So it depends on what team wants him a lot, because they'd be trading their captain, their leader, their heart and soul, which has happened. I mean, teams have traded their captain, Bo Horvat, last season. The Canucks traded him. The Kraken traded Giordano, not so much a big captain there. He was only there for 2 months. But yeah, it happens. So it'll be interesting to see where Jenner goes, if he goes at all. Blue Jackets will be selling as well this season, so it's going to be interesting. All right, let's go quick fire now. And these are a few questions in general. We won't be just focusing on the Sabres and the Flames. But I'll start with you, Derek, on this one. Who do you believe is the top trade target right now? Is it Chris Tanev, or is there someone else on your list that's the top guy that everyone's going to be going after for the deadline here?
I think it would probably be Hanifin, but if it's not, just because of his age, I mean, Chris Tanev is Chris Tanev, and you know what you're getting. You're getting a solid defensive D, but I think people will pay more for that age and effectiveness and versatility of Hanifin. So I would say it's him, but in my opinion, it's neither Flame. It's a Pittsburgh Penguin. It's Jake Guentzel. He reportedly rejected a huge contract offer from the Pittsburgh Penguins, and with them not as high in standings as many thought, they could maybe flip him for a pretty massive haul. I mean, he's a three-time 40-goal scorer. He's scored at least 20 for the last six straight seasons. Guys like that don't come available very often. So I think if he's available, he's going to be up there for sure, if not Hanifin.
Yeah, Guentzel, there's another situation to keep a close eye on because he's definitely on the move if the Penguins put him on the market, because teams will go after him for sure. Jacob, what about you? Is it Guentzel, or you got someone else that's a top trade target right now?
If it wouldn't be Guentzel, just based off of age and, positional need, I think Chychrun could be another hot commodity this season. I know there was a big haul that was had for him when he got traded the first time, so I think he could get moved. Maybe not for nearly as much, but I think he's worth close to it again, and I think he would add a lot of scoring depth along with defensive depth to a playoff team if they can actually pay the price that the Senators might be asking for him, because he doesn't seem to want to stay there based off of some of the things that I've seen. And Ottawa unfortunately has to sell again. So if I'm them, I would want to recoup as much of what I spent for him as possible.
Well, Chychrun said he didn't want to be, he didn't know where these trade rumors came from, but it came from somewhere. So we'll see what happens there for sure. Okay. Now, there's always those surprising names of some, why the heck did he move? Filip Hronek was one last season that I don't think anyone thought he was going to be traded. So there could be one of those like that. Jacob, do you think there's a surprise that in store here? A name that no one really expects to be traded, but is by the time it trade deadline's over.
Funny enough, the only name that I could really think of was a Sabres player, and it was Casey Mittelstadt. He's having one of his quietly good seasons again, and there's a lot of teams that want a center that can be a playmaker, be a defensive forward, and still have that, that gusto to be in a playoff performance. He's never been in playoffs before, but he's playing like he wants to. And that's something that can be a huge, huge upside for any team. I think it would cost a decent amount, and it would really take a big offer to pry him away from Kevin Adams, who seems to really like him. But I've seen his name pop up in a few rumors so far that even he had to specifically address. Yeah, I didn't know until I heard it on TV today. So with his name coming up every now and again, there has to be some truth to teams calling Buffalo and being like, hey, what's it going to cost for Casey Mittelstadt?
That's a name for sure to keep an eye on. Derek, what do you th think? Is there a surprise name that could potentially be traded?
I don't know. I mean, it's a weird trade year so far. It's hard to pinpoint what teams are thinking, and discussions are actually seemingly being kept behind closed doors a lot more now, which is good. Maybe not as surprising, but a name like Adam Henrique on the Ducks has been, I've seen a couple, and I mean, he's not, maybe not a needle, a thread mover as you might think, but I mean, he's a great two-way center and he's a veteran player. He wants a Stanley Cup. And he has, I was kind of thinking like, well, Adam Henrique, who wants Adam Henrique, which is not fair maybe, but he has 33 points in 49 games. I mean, he's not a slouch. He's playing really great on a terrible Anaheim Ducks team, and probably could be had as a rental for not too much, I'm sure. But another name I've seen is Tyler Johnson on the Chicago Blackhawks, which is a player I would have never thought would kind of be on the move. As far as I knew, he had a really bad contract, and he was kind of in Chicago to keep them above the floor, basically. I mean, he's probably an effective player. I don't watch enough Blackhawks games to comment, but I've seen his name in the rumor mill, and that's somebody I thought would have never been on the move, who'd be able to afford that contract and that player, but you never know.
Never know. Salary retention. The Blackhawks could definitely retain. I think they still have a retention spot. Still, but I mean, that is a name that I've seen floated too. I think, again, playoff performer. He's been really good in the playoffs for teams, and not as effective as he used to be, but definitely still can do something for a team in the bottom six for sure. All right, two quick ones. Now, these are more surprises. Derek, is there a surprising team that's leaning towards being a buy or seller right now that no one expected at the beginning of the season going in?
I think the easy answer would be the Senators, I guess. I mean, if as was just mentioned, I mean, by Jacob, they just paid that price for Jacob Chychrun and kind of seemed to be on the way up. And then, of course, they've had the season that they've had, and now they're talking about flipping a player like that and trying to recoup assets, which is just crazy to think of if you were in this situation last year. But another team, and if you want to go to the West, that comes to mind for me is the Minnesota Wild. They're also not really where a lot of media and fans thought that they would be. And they're a team that's really stuck with all that dead cap still from Parise and Suter. So you might think they want to move on from some of their bigger contracts to kind of alleviate that pressure and try to build towards a future, build around Brock Faber, build around Marco Rossi. You never know. Maybe they move on from an Erickson Ek. I know as much as it pains Minnesota Wild fans, but hey, I mean, again, if Lindholm can go for a first and all that, I mean, Erickson Ek is maybe you want to say a poor man's Lindholm. So who knows?
That's another name that's been talked about, and Canucks were apparently looking at him from Minnesota. So not anymore, obviously. They got Lindholm. Jacob, what do you think? Is there a surprise team for you that is a seller that wasn't expected to be?
Yeah, Minnesota was my pick when I was thinking about the whole scenario because, at the start of the season, they had a lot going for them. They have good young talent up front. They have solid defense going in. And, Gustafsson was poised to be a big starter for them in goal. And they have one of the best goaltending prospects in the league in Wallstedt. So they had a lot going for them going into this season. And it hasn't panned out right for them. So I'm a little shocked to see them so low in the standings. And I think it'll be more of a retool for them as opposed to a full-blown sell, just because they have so many good pieces there still. But it's disappointing to see where they're at as opposed to what I thought.
Yeah, for sure. On the other side, now there's obvious ones, obviously the Canucks being a buyer when everyone expected them to be a bubble playoff team again. Jacob, do you see any surprise buyers that no one kind of thought, other than the Canucks, that is?
I'd say it's the Flyers. I don't think anybody really had high expectations of them. If we go back to even past last summer, there just wasn't much going on. Everybody was assuming Danny Briere was going to start selling off pieces of the team once you start hearing, trade rumors about Carter Hart and whoever else that Provorov that got moved. So there was a whole bunch of selling going on already. So to see them in a position to actually buy and maybe looking for a goaltender, maybe looking for an extra forward up front. They still have plenty of assets that they can sell if they so choose. And it'll be interesting to see what, direction they decide to go overall. But I think they should buy since they're in a solid position right now.
What about you, Derek? Do you see a surprise buyer right now?
Yeah, maybe not as big of a surprise, and it's probably an easy answer, but I think the Winnipeg Jets. I didn't think anybody thought that they would have put it together this quickly, and would be giving up their first round pick for a Sean Monahan at this point. If you told me this in the offseason or last year, I would have said you're crazy. But I think kudos to their pro scouting department. I think not a lot of people thought that Gabriel Vilardi would be a fit like he is. Like, holy smokes, that was a good play. And then obviously, Luc Dubois is doing what he's doing in Los Angeles. So, I mean, hey, you did okay. But yeah, I mean, they're a team that are on the up and up, 30 wins already. They'd probably like to add another forward. Always need defensive depth. Yeah, top five team in the league. Look to them to keep adding.
Yeah, the Canadian teams are not all of them are doing great. The Senators aren't. Maple Leafs are in the middle there. I think everyone's kind of weren't expecting them to be on around the wild card-ish area. But yeah, the Winnipeg Jets, Vancouver Canucks are sure surprising teams this season. And I don't know, it's not a stretch to say they're Stanley Cup contenders at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see where all that kind of all plays out around the deadline, the rest of the season too. So thanks, Derek. Thanks, Jacob, for coming on the show, talking trade deadline. We're going to have a few more episodes like this. We're going to have a general one coming out really soon. We're just going to go through the whole trade bait board and talking about all the top names on that list. But Jacob, Derek, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, make sure you're checking out all of our stuff at thehockeywriters.com from Derek, from Jacob, as the trade deadline gets closer and as we're going to start talking about the draft and all that as well. So lots of fun stuff coming up. So make sure keep it locked here because we have the trade deadline coverage throughout. As trades go, we will have reaction right after it, trade grades, all that fun stuff. Make sure checking out our Substack, our daily Substack that comes out, and check that out. Subscribe to that. We also got the premium tiers going on for all the teams. Check out all that fun stuff in the link below. But till next time, we'll see you on another episode of our trade deadline previews.